Country Club FM.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, is Tuesday, February 16th, 47th day of the year, 318 remaining on today's Bob Almanac Virtual Neil Check In. Let's do a virtual attendance check.
I'm ready, Jim.
Okay, very good. I prefer if you'd say I'm present. Present. I remember the teacher taking attendance, and usually the kids would say here, but she would say, or he would say, well, you can neither say you're here or just say present. I was a smart aleck who would say present. I thought it sounded pretty smart, actually. When in turn, it was pretty dumb. This date in 600, Pope Gregory the Great issued a papal decree declaring God bless you as the proper response to a sneeze. So you want to know why we say God bless you? It was the Pope. Pope Gregory, this year, 600. This date, the year 600 AD. What was it on Seinfeld? They tried to switch it around and they were probably did a whole show. A show about nothing. So they did a whole show probably about what you say after a sneeze. I think somebody suggested, you're so good looking, instead of God bless you. 1741, Benjamin Franklin published America's second magazine. And the name of that magazine was Why Do We Say God Bless You When We Sneeze? No, actually, it was The General Magazine and Historical Chronicle. Woo, a title like that, that one must just flew off the shelves. It's a long way from The General Magazine and Historical Chronicle to Teen Beat. That was quite a magazine transformation over the years. 1741, Ben Franklin. There's nothing he didn't do. 1861, Abe Lincoln stopped his train at Westfield on his way to Washington. The reason he was doing that, because, of course, he had just been elected president, he wanted to stop and thank 11-year-old Grace Bedell in person. She had written Abraham Lincoln a letter during the campaign, saying and advising him to grow a beard and he'd get more votes. He did, and he won the election. He didn't think that was any kind of a coincidence, so he stopped off and said hello to 11-year-old Grace Bedell in person. This date, 1861. Abe, just any pictures that exist of him without a beard just doesn't look right. 1903, you think it's cold now? And yes, Ely reached 50 below at one point. Over the weekend, 50 below in Ely, but this date in 1903 at the Pakegama Dam, Minnesota. I'm assuming that's Pakegama up at the Grand Rapids area, not the Pakegama in the Pine City area. But they had 59 below this date at Pakegama Dam, Minnesota. At that time, it was the coldest all-time temperature recorded in Minnesota. That was a state record until 1996 when Tower, right next to Sudan, Tower reached 60 below 1996. People were freezing bananas and hammering in nails left and right back in 96. I remember it well. 1937, we had a 1996 reference there, 60 below. Now we need to go back to 1937 because it was the beginning of the nylon age.
Yes, folks, no more unsightly runs or deforming creases when you wear nylon stockings. Miss Gloria Glamour thrills to the feel of nylon hosiery, a chemical miracle in which coal combined with air and water has been converted into a fiber as fine as silk, but stronger, smoother, and more durable.
There you go, nylon this date, patent of the day, Wallace H. Carruthers, Mr. DuPont. He was the DuPont man, research chemist from DuPont. This is the guy that gave us nylon, and he patented on this day, 1937. I know my calves look better in nylon stockings. In fact, I think everybody's calves look better in nylon stockings, except for maybe Phil Mickelson. He doesn't need them. This date in 1959, newsreel time.
Havana, often the mecca for gamblers, sees the jackpot payoff of a political long shot. Bearing 26th of July banners, joyous followers of Fidel Castro sweep triumphantly through the Cuban capital hours after their rebellion had toppled the regime of Fulgencio Batista.
This was the date Fidel Castro sworn in as Prime Minister of Cuba after the overthrow of Batista. Hey, how do you spell Batista's first name, Neil?
I'll look that up.
All right. Thank you. We'll find that out on a future Bob Almanac. That was 1959 that Fidel took power. We weren't sure what to make of it. Of course, eventually it turned out that we didn't get along with Fidel Castro in Cuba. He got along well with the Soviets, though, unfortunately. 2007, this was in the news.
And then they asked us to open the door. We opened the door, and Britney Spears came in and sat in my chair and said, I want to shave my hair off. And I said, well, I'm not shaving your hair off. And I tried to talk her out of it. I said, are you sure you're not having a bad day? And tomorrow you'll feel differently about it. Why don't we wait a little bit? She said, no, I absolutely want it shaved off now. And as I was talking to her bodyguard, next thing I know, she grabbed the buzzer and she went to the back of my salon and she was shaving off her own hair. And she actually...
So that was this day, 2007. We all remember it. Britney Spears shaved off her head, 2007. That's the actual hairstylist. That's the salon owner where they went to shave off Britney Spears' hair. Britney wanted it shaved off. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it myself. So she grabbed the clippers, or what did she call them? The buzzers. Is that a salon technical term for an electric clipper, a buzzer? She called it a buzzer. I thought that was something used on Jeopardy. But 2007, a bald head, red and pink lips tattooed on her wrist. Britney obviously was going through some things, and she has during her life. And now there's that documentary about her and her father and being her conservator and all these things. And now, what's his name, apologizing to her. I'm going to have to watch that documentary on Britney Spears. But it was 2007 on this date where... she had checked into rehab and obviously was going through some things and it made headlines. And whether it helped or not, I don't know. But that was this day, 2007. Justin Timberlake is the one that apologized to Britney here within the last week after it came out on that documentary that he wasn't shed in the best of lights in that documentary for Mr. Timberlake. All right, let's go back 10 years ago. Anyway, I think we mentioned Jeopardy already.
Watson, who is Franz Liszt?
You are right.
What is violin?
Good.
Who is the church lady?
Yes. Watson.
What is narcolepsy?
You are right. And with so, that, you move to 36,600.
So on Jeopardy, they had a computer against a couple of former champions, Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, went at it. It was man versus machine, and Watson, the machine, won. As you can see, he ran the table there on a certain category that included who is the church lady. I would have gotten that one, no doubt about that. Watson wouldn't have had a chance on SNL trivia. 2011, and then this was a year ago.
A 77-meter-long cargo vessel found abandoned on the rocks near the Irish coast. No crew on board, and a mystery as to how it got there. Well, it has since been identified as the MV Alta. That's a ship that was registered most recently under the Tanzanian flag. And it's believed to have been sailing across the Atlantic coast, or rather drifting, for over a year now.
Over a year, 1,000 miles or whatever it was, a ghost ship. Sounds scary. Sounds like something you would see on Scooby-Doo. But this cargo vessel just ran aground because of Storm Dennis. Tropical Storm Dennis blew this thing across the Atlantic all the way over to Scotland. And there were absolutely no crew. It was really kind of eerie if you look into it. And it was a year ago, 2020, here this date. Birthdays, Neil. Are we ready for the birthdays now?
Let's do it. I only watch Gunsmoke.
Look at what's happened to me.
So that probably means you didn't watch Greatest American Hero. It was a great premise for a show. A guy gets accosted by aliens. They give him this suit with special powers. He loses the instruction booklet, basically. And this was before the time you could just go online and find the instruction and the owner's manual in PDF form online. You couldn't do that for this. So he became a bumbling superhero. But Robert Culp is excellent in the show. As his police and private investigator buddy. And a big hit song. One of the biggest hit songs amongst TV themes of all time. William Catt from that show, 70 today.
Cool it, leak. We have a cool it leak, everybody. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Everybody out. Let's move. Let's move. Let's go. Let's go. Rich, we have a new problem.
always something you can do, Jordy LaForge. LeVar Burton. Remember he was on Reading Rainbow on PBS? And, of course, he was in Roots. He was Kuta Kinte in Roots. And then Jordy LaForge. He was the lieutenant commander, chief engineer on the Enterprise D. And when you have a coolant leak and a warp core breach, look out. Things are about to get really hairy. And usually it'll be a cliffhanger to the next episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And if anybody has a coolant leak here because of the cold, just give the guy a call. LeVar Burton on this date. Happy birthday, 64.
Told you to shut up.
Why do you even need me here?
Shut up.
Why aren't you doing your job?
Why don't you shut up?
I'm not scared of you. Take me in. Shut up.
Ice-T, one of our favorite ice guys. You got your ice cube, you got your Ice-T. And Ice-T, it's hard to keep those two apart. They both act and they're rappers. Ice-T is 63. His real name is Tracy Morrow. He's on Law & Order, Special Victims Unit, SVU for short. And shut up is kind of his signature phrase. Shut up, Mr. D. I wish that would have been the signature phrase for Arnold on instead of what you talking about. What you talking about, Willis? Shut up, Willis. It would have been more in your face, as Ice-T is want to be on Law & Order SVU. He's 63 today. The original Wednesday Addams.
Oh, Wednesday Pugsley, darling. How was school?
Terrible, especially history.
Yeah, they never tell us anything interesting, like how many heads they chopped off in the French Revolution.
But darlings, we're...
She was the original Wednesday. We just had the Wednesday Addams from the movies, and now here's Wednesday Addams from the TV shows. Lisa Loring always gave Pugsley a hard time about his weight. There's nothing he could do. He had a glandular issue. We know that. Lisa Loring, 63, from the TV show Addams Family.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line. Chalk flew up.
He was tennis's bad boy, and you know what? Tennis needed a bad boy. Tennis was just way too cordial for all those many years, all the white shorts and pants and skirts and everything. We needed a bad boy. And here comes John McEnroe yelling at the linesman, at the official, and at the referee. And they needed to be yelled at. That was clearly in. It was on the line. They missed it. You don't get those anymore now as much because they have the electronic scoring. They have the electronic animation where it actually shows right where the ball hit. And then there's no arguing. You can't argue after that. But I have a feeling, I have an inkling deep down in that somewhere, somehow, John McEnroe would find a way to argue. He'd argue with the computer. He'd go over there. There's the HP right in the corner that's doing all the measuring and everything. You cannot be serious. So John McEnroe, he's 62. Fun to watch. That's tennis is still kind of fun, but boy, it was fun back in those days. I wore this tape out. Duran Duran, Rio. And Andy Taylor, member of Duran Duran. He's their guitarist playing the guitar here. He's probably saying do 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 do. He's probably saying that too, along with Simon LeBone. 60 years old today for Andy Taylor from Duran Duran. Our rapper of the day is Lupe Fiasco. Lupe Fiasco, Neil. Are you familiar?
Huh?
Lupe Fiasco, 39 today. One of the Avengers.
I want to finish the plan. I want the big one.
The Scarlet Witch. The big one being the Hulk is what she's referring to there. Elizabeth Olsen, 32, Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff, and she's on the new show. It's on the streaming Disney Plus. It's called WandaVision. My wife and I are watching it. It's kind of out there. It's out there a little bit. It's out there just a tad. Elizabeth Olsen. It's a good show, though, and it's starting to make sense. 32 for her and The Weeknd. We know all about him from the Super Bowl. Everybody wearing those nice red blazers and all those guys that had plastic surgery running around with their masks on. If you saw it on the Super Bowl, some people were confused, some people loved it, some people hated it. It was a love-hate situation. He's The Weeknd, and he's 31. Let's move on to the Gons But Not Forgottens, Neil.
Huh?
I think you set me up, didn't you, with... Yeah, I figured he did. He set me up with some good gons, but not for gons. Vice President of the Day, Henry, don't call me Hank Wilson. Again, Neil, his staff wrote out the bits here, so that's a Neil staple, the Henry, don't call me Hank Wilson. He was a vice president under Grant, 1812. Ventriloquist Edgar Bergen and his good buddy Charlie McCarthy.
Well, Charlie, are you having a good time?
Well, whatever you say, you know, it's up to you. You got your hand up my back.
All right. Well, I would say that you're having a pretty good time.
Oh, the secret is out. Charlie McCarthy, the top hat, the monocle, pretty famous as a ventriloquist. And, of course, he was also the father of Candace Bergen, 1903 here, born this date. Also, Ward Cleaver.
Where are you going?
Going to see if Beaver put a voodoo curse on Eddie.
Oh.
No, he already had a voodoo curse on him. I think Eddie's been cursed from the beginning, right?
Well, June, I told you I'd read a little on the subject, so I sent the Beaver over with a genuine voodoo curse remover.
So there you go, Ward Cleaver, an expert on voodoo curses from Leave It to Beaver, Hugh Beaumont. 1909.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
They were one of us. They came from and were born in Mound, Minnesota, grew up there, came out of Minneapolis, became famous during World War II.
Till I come marching home.
The Andrews Sisters, Patty Andrews, 1918. It's Know Your Andrews Sisters today on the Bob Almanac. It's not Maxine, it's not Laverne, it's Patty. This date, 1918.
Charleston was once the rage.
Sonny Bono.
History has turned a page.
Could be the ultimate outkick your coverage.
The mini skirts.
1A and 1B. Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts and Sonny Bono and Cher. But it just proves that looks aren't everything. I mean, cute little quirkiness and things like that, and talent, and Sonny certainly had it. He had a unique voice. He knew marketing, he knew branding. And of course, Sonny and Cher became a huge, huge hit. Sonny Bono passed away in that skiing accident. He was born on this date in 1935. The whacked out former leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-il, said the first time he ever went golfing, he had like seven holes in ones and shot a 48 or something on a 72 par course. Believable, really it is. 19th son now, of course, Kim Jong-un is the ruler of North Korea, but Kim Jong-il, 1941. Margot Hemingway, the granddaughter of Ernest Hemingway, the actress, star 80, lipstick. She died tragically very, very young due to a drug overdose, 1955. And one more.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. 'Cause here we
are. But we ask on the Bob Almanac, please just do your best. And I know that's what Neil is doing right now on the golf course somewhere in Florida. He's doing his best. But sometimes his best, my best, your best just isn't good enough. But as long as you did your best, that's all that we ask. And that's what James Ingram asks. That's what Quincy Jones asks. Here's James Ingram singing along with Quincy Jones. He's doing the music here. James Ingram also passed away a few years ago, way too young. 1956, James Ingram, and now they're all gone.
They're all gone, but not forgotten.
Thank you for joining us. Today's Bob Almanac for Tuesday, February 16th, 2021.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KBGY.